Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney, let's do it. Live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday across the country. A little championship celebration for my partner. What's up, partner? Tinky Barber.
I wish I was out celebrating all night.
I mean, you're going to wear that scarf forever? Yep. I mean, I just see it on CBS Sports Network. Yep. You wore it out in Minnesota for a couple of days. You're going to clean that thing
on? I will wear this thing until I can't any longer, until it's standing by itself. Wahoo wah, as we sang the good old song from the rafters at U.S. Bank Stadium. First of all, kudos to Minnesota. They did an unbelievable job taking care of us when we were there before and then even through the weekend. You know, sometimes those cities get congested and it's complicated and it's annoying. You didn't feel it really at all.
No.
Getting in and out of the stadium, but that's regular procedure.
Mm-hmm. And great, the Super Bowl is good, too. Minnesota does a nice job.
Great job, Minnesota. And great job, Cavaliers. Wahoo wah. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
No, I mean, come on. You stop at that. I mean, I'm
was still going.
Set the scene here, brother. This is your day.
So, again, I was there with Turner Sports doing their championship Twitter cast, Twitter Live. So after the half, I go down to the floor, and I'm just standing there like, all right, where am I going to go today?
Same dilemma as Saturday.
Saturday, I went underneath the Virginia basket, and it was great because I saw Kyle Guy softly and confidently sink those three free throws after he was fouled as time was expiring to push them into the championship game. So this time, I ran into some of our CBS colleagues.
Such as?
Danielle. I forget Danielle's last name. But she grabbed me and was like, come sit with us. And so we sat right there. Rich Gaynor, who was one of the spotters for Spiro and those guys.
Yeah, sure.
And so I'm sitting right there. And I'm sitting in a little like box, media box, with John Paul Jones. Mm-hmm. Now, Virginians know that name because it's the name of our arena down in Charlottesville.
Just sounds like somebody famous.
The John Paul Jones Arena.
John Paul Jones last night,
who was
restaurant.
Named for that man, John Paul Jones, by his son, Paul Tudor Jones, who's one of our distinguished alumni. He's a finance a hedge fund guy who's made a ton of money, and he donated, I forget the number, to build the stadium. He named after his father.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting in this box next to his father, which was pretty amazing.
Good setup so far.
And uncle. And DeAndre Hunter's parents are right down the side. Mm-hmm. I just walk in. They're focused. I just kind of waved. And, you know, my heart rate was flying, BT. Resting now, I'm about 58.
Yeah.
I checked my Fitbit because I wear this Fitbit all the time. It was 82.
It's pumping.
It was 82 beats per minute in the last 2.5 minutes.
But they've done
this
to you every game.
Every game,
their resolve has been phenomenal.
It's been you know what it is? So we use this cliche often. You take on the personality of your coach. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's nonsense. But this Virginia squad truly is that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to Tony Bennett, and we had him on 2 weeks ago. When you listen to him in interviews, there's just this calmness about him. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He was even on the podium after the game. He's so humble, like almost like deflecting of the attention. But it tells you something about what he's trying to espouse to his team. And I think that helps them in these critical moments, whether it's, you know, down by four with 12 seconds left against Auburn. They calmly foul. They get the foul. They do it exactly right and ultimately get the play that wins the game. The same thing happened against Purdue when Diakite, the game before, drills that buzzer beater to push it into overtime, which they ultimately won. And the same thing happened at the end of this championship game, BT. Guys had to make plays, and DeAndre Hunter in the right corner drilled a three-pointer down three as calmly as you've ever seen someone drill.
He had two of those from that spot.
I agree. He owns
one of
that
which,
corner.
By the way, I thought the prudent move was to go for the layup.
I agreed.
I was surprised. You knock down the shot, but you kick it to the corner. You better hit it.
They had some confidence, man, and it was amazing. Afterwards, you know, I was debating, like, do I go up there? Like, do I go?
Well, like, you get your hand on the trophy?
No, no, no. Just go up on this court.
Yeah,
right?
You should have gone up
so
there.
Do I go on the court? I'm like, I don't want to be this. I was like, you know what? Forget it. I got up there. My pass had me courtside, so I could get up on the court after the game. I saw Carla Williams, who's the AD, and then I saw Jim Ryan, who's the president.
Mm-hmm.
I saw.
That's where Katie Couric.
Katie Couric was
Katie,
there,
right?
And Chris Long
yeah,
was
I saw
there.
That
like
picture.
All of these distinguished alums.
Yeah.
Are there to celebrate. I can't tell you how exciting it was, man.
I'm so happy for
you. I was
you.
Exhausted.
I almost don't know what to say because we've talked about this journey for so long.
You're right.
Last year, the unsightly, unfathomable exit by a 16 seed. Listen, it's not like Tiki went to a basketball factory.
No.
You know, if Coach Bennett stays there, they very well will become a basketball factory that just happens to also emphasize academics and do it the right way. But if he ever leaves, who knows what happens to Virginia basketball? Might very well just kind of get swallowed up and kind of resort to a middle-of-the-pack ACC team. It's quite plausible that that will happen if and when Tony ever leaves here. But I'll tell you, the journey that they took you on is, I mean, I hate to say without parallel, without precedent, because that encompasses everything that's ever happened.
Yeah.
But we know there's only been one 16 exactly. team to beat a one, and now we know that there's only been one team to bounce back from that beating to come back and win the championship, and that's your college.
Yeah,
it's your university.
I think I saw the stat that there were only four teams in NCAA history that have lost on opening weekend. Obviously not number one seeds. And then the next year won the championship. So Virginia, as a number one overall, number one overall last year, losing to a 16 seed.
UMBC.
Was historic.
Did they tweet out last night, UMBC?
They had
to do something.
I forget what it was.
Pull it up, D-Cell. They're pretty good on Twitter.
Yeah, they were. I think it was complimentary, but I can't remember exactly what it said.
Probably like they prepped you for the moment, probably taking credit, right?
No, I don't think so.
Something like that.
No, they've been like deferential.
No,
and
of course.
Respectful.
Now they understand their place.
And basically, like, maligning those who wanted to make fun of Virginia.
Yeah, which is a smart approach.
Yeah, they were like, we're not going to jump in with just nonsense. We know we had a great day,
yeah.
And they had a bad one
because yeah.
DeAndre Hunter wasn't there. But whatever. So at the end of the day, though, it was the journey from that horrible disappointment, which they handled relatively well,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Considering that it's the first time in history to a championship run with some pieces different. You know, Devin Hall is gone, and Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy had to step into that leadership role. DeAndre Hunter as well. He was a sixth man last year, and here he is as a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
He played like a
lottery
pick.
He needed to show me a little assertiveness last night. I mean, needed to show me. He needed to show, I think, those who were a little worried, not his motor, but his willingness, because there's a difference. You could be disengaged. He's never disengaged. He's just a little bit too deferential to players that I believe he's more talented than.
Well, he's still young.
No, I get
you
that.
Know? He's still
I
young.
Understand. But and if you want to go top 10,
I agree.
You got to put some buckets
up.
You got to make some shots. You got to take the shot.
Well, you remember,
and he did.
Remember when we asked about Carson Edwards? I forgot who we asked, one of our analysts, about Carson Edwards. You might have been out, actually. It might have been Gary Parrish, who said, you are who you can guard. In the NBA.
I was in that day.
And I can't remember who we were
that
talking
was. D-Cell, who was that?
And that was one of the reasons
response.
Why Carson Edwards.
Maybe Rothstein who said it.
Maybe it
I think
was.
John said it. No,
like,
somebody
doesn't,
else?
Doesn't sound like something.
Doesn't sound like a Rothsteinism.
No.
We'll sleep in May.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
But you know, Carson Edwards might be a good spot-up shooter, but, I mean, what's he going to be in the NBA? Because he can't guard anybody. DeAndre Hunter shut down the other lottery pick, Jared Culver, in this game.
Yeah.
He shot 5 of 22 and was forced into taking some horrible shots down the end trying to play hero ball. And you know that happens when you get frustrated, right? When your normal course of offense is blocked off, you can't find an open shot, and DeAndre Hunter did that to Jared Culver, who was amazing for most of this tournament. So defensively, DeAndre Hunter was the man.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to see and what I was like begging for in the first half, just make some shots.
Mm-hmm.
And he was off until he wasn't. And,
yeah.
And when he was on,
he had a couple of free throws to get himself going, I think, early.
I mean,
he had a couple of free throws
before
game, buckets.
Both of them, they only scored from the line.
First three, 4 minutes of this game was
it
was tough, man.
It was a point per minute.
It was tough.
It was literally
I think Adam
minute.
Schefter, of all people, he does basketball. I don't know why he does basketball, but he does some basketball for ESPN. Like, sure. Is it working up, Adam? He tweeted something like, and it was pretty deep into the first half. Like, the final score was projected to be like 38-24. Yeah. Remember, the over-under was at 117.5.
That's right.
Which, you know, based on the sheer number of it, a numbers aspect of it, you would be smart to take the over, even though both games were under on Saturday. And your buddy bounced back a little bit
of
last night. You had to go with the over.
You
had
over.
To go with
119.
The over. How do you root for it? First of all, you either don't bet that game.
Yes.
Or you bet the over.
Yes.
Because you are literally, if you're betting the under at 117.5, you are really hoping that nothing good happens.
Yeah,
and
right.
Who the hell wants to sit through
exactly.
that? We got a little pace in the second half early on.
You're right.
There was a 3-ball on the first possession
right.
in the second half. And then we started to see some movement, some pace, which was good.
Which helped change the narrative that everybody wanted to say about this this game. This is going, the adjectives, this is going to be boring. It's going to be unwatchable.
Get out the peach baskets.
Exactly.
You hear that a little bit.
Yeah.
Send it back.
I can't watch this defensive battle. These are two teams who have defensive principles from coaches who don't care about scoring, and they don't have enough good shooters on either team. Guess what? These teams are pretty damn good when they get their act together, mostly in the second half. And by the way, it went over even before halftime.
Yes, it did.
Before halftime, it went over. So, I thought.
But what do you mean it went over before halftime?
I mean before overtime.
Yeah.
I think this was one of the
you
most.
You couldn't do
exciting.
That the other night, Kyle, guy? You couldn't miss that third foul shot? Give it overtime?
This was one of the more exciting finals.
And I loved it.
Maybe because I'm very close to it and I was actually there in the arena.
Yep.
That I've seen in a lot of years, BT, because it came down to the end. And, I mean, North Carolina was huge as well, but it was back and forth. It wasn't no one had control of the game until it went to overtime. Virginia snatched it,
as they have several times.
Oh,
the last three games,
they
snatched it.
Always.
Well, actually, going back to Oregon, you could say last four.
That's right.
I mean, with the Purdue game, there was always a situation where, I mean, like with 9 seconds left, 17 seconds left, you're looking at the game and you're watching the flow of the game, and you're sitting there saying, "How's Virginia going to pull this off?" But they always had timeouts in their back pockets, and teams that are poorly coached don't, because they get desperate.
Mm-hmm.
They burn them early, and that they lament that later. They never miss foul shots. They never miss the open look three.
Right.
They never give up. I know that Jim said this during the game, Jim Nance. I don't remember if it was 3 or 4 minutes to go. I forget when, but it was really late. There wasn't one transition bucket by either team.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, there's not one breakdown, one secondary breakdown on the defensive side where – A guy who contests a 3-point shot
right.
doesn't get like just the attention to detail was incredible.
I
really enjoyed the game.
I enjoy that. Like, people want to see scoring so much that they sacrifice the defensive side of the ball. I don't love that kind of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we get bored of it in the NBA, where it's just kind of like
totally.
score. I'm going to do something great. I'm going to shoot a three. It's wide open because nobody's coming out. There's nobody even running out at me, so I'm just shooting a wide open three. I don't want to see that.
No, that's not a ton of skill at this point. It's muscle memory. They could do it in their sleep.
I was impressed.
Shot.
And, you know, before we move on and go to a break, credit to Chris Beard, obviously, and this Texas Tech squad, because until your boy, Tariq Owens, goes out, and the interior is no longer the interior, which allows Ty Jerome to drive without fear and then ultimately drive and kick without fear to DeAndre Hunter, the game changed when he fouled out.
Yep.
And you felt it. You're sitting in the arena when he fouled out. You saw number five. DeAndre Hunter got the foul. It was a great play by DeAndre Hunter to push back into him to get the foul and foul him out. The air left Texas Tech a little bit. Now, Mooney, lifted them because he's just a really good player.
How about that one scholarship at a high school, Air Force?
Yeah,
one scholarship. You got to love stories like that.
Great shooter.
Yeah.
But,
and he's actually got some wiggle.
Chris
frees himself up a little bit. He's strong. He's a good player.
Chris Beard did a hell of a job.
Yes, he did.
With this team.
He's a great coach.
Because unlike Tony Bennett's team, these guys haven't been together for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They haven't learned this defensive principles for 3 seasons.
That's right. Tariq's first year. Tariq
Owens'
first year.
It's Mooney's first year.
Uh-huh.
And what's the other? There's another one that transferred in. So there's a bunch of kids that just kind of got stuck together.
Yeah.
And they get to the NCAA final. That's impressive.
He's great. And it bothers me when people throw around the word great. I always say that when it comes up. I believe that you can be great in defeat. I don't believe that you need the ultimate punctuation of a championship, which of course would be nice,
yep.
and then would silence any detractor. But man, if you watch this, even going back to the Big 12 season, but if you watch the ebbs and the flows, we know that Tony Bennett's a great coach. But if you didn't know a ton about Chris Beard, you mm-hmm. watch the flow of the season, how they integrated the different players that Tiki just brought up, the three transfers without losing a beat to capitalize in a non-traditional power like Texas Tech. And
the Big 12.
He's a great coach.
The Big 12 is owned by Kansas,
mm-hmm.
right?
Has been forever, 15 years.
Kansas State is there. He's been there 2 years. He's been Big 12 Coach of the Year for 2 years.
He's a star.
Elite Eight and an NCAA final. That's pretty damn impressive.
It is, and Red Raider fans should be thrilled that Mick Cronin got the job, that so you don't have to worry about him being poached. You don't have to worry about Tony Bennett maybe
exactly.
leaving. Mick Cronin, if you guys missed it, which we'll touch on a little later, going to take the job for the UCLA Bruins, got a lot of money. I believe it was 6 years, around 24, 25 mil, but we'll kick that around. All right, 1-855-212-4227. Maybe you disagree. Obviously, Tiki went to Virginia. We had him, he and by extension me, had an intimate ride throughout this tournament. I mean, I watched it with a different set of emotions, really, than any tournament that I ever have, because, you know, St. John's hasn't been to the Final Four since the men's St. Mullins out now.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
But the mid-80s, and Marist hasn't been where I actually graduated. My alma mater hasn't been to the Big Dance since 87 when Rick Smits was there. So I usually have it's either, monetarily driven, certainly professional pride, storylines. This was different. I think it was a great tournament. A lot of people will challenge that sentiment, and I think we should get calls on that.
I think we should, especially from the Sweet 16 on,
mm-hmm.
especially the Elite Eight on, all those games were amazing.
It was great. I mean, it was great. 1-855-212-4227. Get those calls. Tiki, are you hungover today, by the way?
Wahoo, wah.
You a little hungover at that champagne?
I got to tell you, BT.
Don't say you didn't have a sip.
I stayed on the court until UVA left, so I just hung out on the court.
What time did they leave?
Just taking it in. Probably 11:30, 11:45.
Nobody had a flask like Chris Long? Nobody? The kids I know didn't.
I mean, I didn't sit in the stands.
Order this guy some champagne. Can he drink on the air today? Is he allowed?
So I wasn't drinking.
Are you allowed to drink on the air?
If we're on radio, yes, but because we're on television.
Just like a little celebratory toast, are we allowed? I mean, because if it's allowed, I'll have D-Cell go and get a bottle.
I think I have one in my locker.
So go get it. Even better. I'll toast with you, man.
Yeah. All right. But I hung out on the court until I just was taking it all in.
Soaking it all in.
And by the way, Kenny, the Jet.
Kenny Smith.
I took the bus over with him and Charles.
Oh.
And obviously, there's only a couple teams in the ACC that mm-hmm. have won championships,
mm-hmm.
right? And he was like, I'm going to hex you. I'm going to hex Virginia because I don't want them to get
that's
the
weak,
championship.
Man.
Obviously, I posted the pictures of us winning. He's like, I took the hex off after we got off the bus.
Did he?
Yeah, he texted me.
All right, Kenny. Kenny usually gets around to doing the right thing.
So before we go, wahoo wah.
There you go.
Wahoo wah.
Awesome season, brother. Great, great stuff. 1-855-212-4227. Calls, reaction. We'll hear from Coach Bennett, Coach Beard as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Tiki hitting that high note. He's all feeling good today. Yeah, Tiki.
I can't, baby. My voice is shot, dude.
It's brought to you by Geico, our number. We'll get some calls here. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Obviously, a lot of hoop heavy today. Just a quick note, there's a little baseball going on today. Chris Sale got knocked around again. ZRA's over 9, which, again, it's early. You don't want to overreact to a ridiculously small sample, but what you can at least react to are foreign readings on the radar gun. And his velocity has dipped to a frightening level. Like, it usually lives 93, 94, 95.
I think he's hurt.
I mean, I don't want to get on the air and say that I think he's hurt, but when you go from, mid-90s with ease to 89, it's oftentimes, I don't even want to say usually, but at times, it's a precursor to something else.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, but the Red Sox are, Chris Sale does not look very good. But again, baseball is just rolling. Basketball is just finishing up on the college scene. Here's what I take away from this season, T. It was very unique in the sense that it was, much of the oxygen from the season.
Yeah.
On a national level, when you take away your own individual fandom, whatever, much of the season was was driven by star power in Zion Williamson.
You're right.
He was the oxygen to the season.
In fact, if you look on social media on One Shining Moment on CBS Sports, CBS, whatever, the Twitter app, the major knock is, why are we seeing so much Zion?
Yeah.
So we need four Zion highlights, right?
It's a fair critique.
It's very fair. I mean, he was all over the place.
It's a fair critique. You got to give the people what they want, but you also have to reflect what really happened.
And that's your point.
Which they do brilliantly most times.
That's your point.
I would have taken one of those pictures out, maybe.
Zion was the story
for
most of the college basketball season.
No question. But what was great about it is that the season was punctuated by a return to old school principles, defense, accountability.
That's right.
And that's pretty cool. So the Zion was the one-man show, and ironically, the way it finishes up is an old-school team element,
which
is pretty sweet.
You're right. Love to win that way.
Mm-hmm. All right there, champion. You want to get some calls?
Yeah, let's.
See what's happening. How about we go right to Virginia? Greg is on Tiki and Tyranny. What up, Greg?
Hey, how are you doing?
We are good. What do you think, Greg?
Oh, man, I think it was an amazing game last night. I've always been a diehard Wahoo fan since I was a little kid. You know, I've seen Tiki and your brother and some of the greats there, you know, last night at the game. And, you know, watching everybody's career and DeAndre Hunter and Jerome and Guy and all them, the way that they've progressed and become such a team. I mean, they're the epitome of the word.
Yeah.
They've really grown together. They mesh well. When one guy's not having a hot night, the next guy steps up.
Yeah.
It's always about the next man with Coach Bennett. And to have such a humble, experienced, I guess you'd say, back-to-the-basics coach, Tony Bennett, to put those guys in that opportunity to be able to see that they have, it really says a lot for the program. It says a lot for the team. And it's really lifted at the community for us UVA fans, and we needed that one.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think it's a great message, too, about, you know, sport. And it is a team game, ultimately. Like, we want to champion the stars of the game, but it is a team game. And when you get guys or a team that plays with team principles, and by the way, I think we had that with both of these teams, it shows. And success can be more than just the individual, which is awesome. So I agree with you. And it was a great game, too, by the way. Not just to reiterate what we started talking about, BT. A lot of people wanted to say this was going to be dull and boring in a race to 50. This was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
It really was.
I'm not arguing. There's no doubt. Nico's in Minneapolis. He was at the game, and I believe Nico's a Virginia fan in Minneapolis. What up, Nico? How you doing today?
Wahoo, Tiki.
Yeah, Wahoo is right, man.
Yeah, I had to be there. I'm a grad, and so I flew from D.C. to Chicago to Milwaukee or to Green Bay, and then drove from Green Bay Minneapolis.
Nice.
Now I'm driving back to fly home.
Oh, I love it.
It was an amazing experience.
Nico, your voice sounds like mine feels. It's rough, right?
It's the best it's been in all weekend. So every game, just when we thought we had it, right before the end, we thought, wow, this is how it's really going to end. And somehow we pulled it out, and it got better and better. The story just got better and better with every game, and last night was no exception. And, you know, hanging out with former players and coaches in the hotel, it just was perfect scenario. And we got to get out of Minneapolis before the big blizzard's coming. So it was just a win-win
really?
All around.
Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to get like 12 inches or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Nico. Wahoo, brother.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
you go.
It's supposed to get bad up there. It was nice. It's probably 50s or so for most of the week.
Yeah.
High 50s.
Well, you see everybody on set.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's outside, you know, for the most part.
But it wasn't like cold 50s. It was like warm 50s, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's going to be 33 and snowing tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
I know.
What was the percentage of representation? If you had to break down the building.
In the building
last night?
Give me
a number.
Night?
Yeah. 60-40, 55. What are we doing here?
At least 60-40, maybe 70-30, Texas Tech.
Oh.
It was significantly more Texas Tech alums or supporters there. And you could hear it. Like, there was the boos and the, you know, whatever it would be. But only thing that mattered was at the end when it was us Wahoo singing the good old song, and singing it to the rafters. It was amazing, man.
It's a standalone, possibly once-in-a-lifetime moment.
You're right.
I mean, Ralph Sampson never won a championship.
Right.
Think about that.
And he was as good. And they were some good teams back then.
Mm-hmm. When the big man ruled.
You're right.
You know, back then it was the whole Ewing, Olajuwon era, right? A couple of years after Walt, then at UCLA. I mean, David Robinson a couple of years after that. The big man was... was the big man on campus, literally.
You're right.
Ack, you know, I don't think you would know this. That's the only reason I'm going, I don't even know.
What's Danielle's last name, by the way?
Santoro.
There you go.
That's who I watched the second half with.
Look at him.
Yes.
I'm horrendous with names.
Well, I know her first name.
I don't think
I ever knew her last name.
There you go.
I was thinking this last night, and I love the branding of the road ends here, but when did they start doing that? Like, they weren't doing that when we were kids, did they? I don't remember.
No, that's
ever
very recent. That's very recent.
8, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, something like that.
I would say something like that. I don't recall that at all.
Okay.
Until very recently.
All right, I wanted to make sure I wasn't going nuts. I'm like, there's no way I saw this in the 80s and the 90s. There's no way.
At least you're not going nuts from that.
Yeah, it's true. That is very true. Hey, who won our Tiki and Tierney bracket challenge?
Dude, you made a run, dude.
I did. I generally don't, you know, flex on finishing 16th. But I was wallowing the 300s for a while.
I was going to say, so was I. I actually got
up
inside the 30s. I think I was 24.
Okay.
24th. Teak finished 24th.
BT. Nice run. Not as good as me, but.
15th for you, BT.
15. Okay.
Nice.
Now, who won? What's the gentleman's name?
Our winner is Brian Gottfried.
Where is he from? Brian Gottfried. Where is he from? Do we know?
It actually does not say.
All right. We got to get in touch with Brian Gottfried because he wins a chance to come on our show and chop it up and host an hour with us here on Tiki and Tierney. How about that?
Very impressive bracket by Brian.
Why do you say that? What stood out? I mean, obviously he won, so he did a good job. But
three out of the four Final Four teams.
Who did he not have?
He did not have Michigan State. He had Vatek.
Okay. Uh-huh. You know, Buzz Williams, not a bad call there.
Had the correct championship game and had, obviously, UVA winning.
And by the way, there was only 0.3, I saw the stat, 0.3% of the millions of brackets that had, a lot of them probably had Virginia.
Uh-huh.
But 0.3% had Virginia and Texas Tech. Most people didn't
doesn't surprise me.
Didn't have Texas Tech.
No.
Man. It's not a top of your mind program.
No, you listen, I mean, you fill this out. I don't mean the diehard fan. I don't mean people who do this for a living, people who just start hammering out those sheets. It's an immediate reference point.
Yeah.
And if you kind of parachute into the season, midseason, you really don't know much about Texas Tech. There's no pedigree in large part from your childhood to help motivate you push. Like, put it this way. Like, say if Mick Cronin gets UCLA back relatively fast and they're in the big dance next year, there will be people without even really knowing the personnel. Oh, it's UCLA. Yeah. They're back in the tournament. Yeah. Got to push them up to the Elite Eight. It's UCLA.
Yeah.
When in reality, you know, it doesn't always work that way.
Right.
But just a phenomenal season.
Agreed.
But they had that many fans there. It was about 70-30.
They had a ton of fans. Mm. It was pretty amazing from Texas Tech standpoint, including Pat Mahomes, who was over there.
I saw Pat. He was doing some weird dance on TV. Yeah, exactly. It didn't look like the most rhythmic dance.
I actually don't think he can dance.
Really?
After watching that, I don't think he can dance.
Yeah. Well, it certainly didn't support the thought that he could. I mean, maybe he was just a couple pops
dance,
and he was hanging out.
I can dance. A little bit, but not like that. I mean, whatever.
It was weird.
It was
not a very fluid dance.
It wasn't.
I hear you. All right, let's get Axe update coming up. We've got Vin Parise, our buddy Vin. We're going to get him up on the show from Fox Sports and SNY locally. Get a thought on the season. Get a thought on a bunch of things college related. Inbounds, out of bounds, hour number two. Kevin Durant, more evidence. Mm-hmm. More evidence. Your boy said this a long time ago. Kevin Durant's going to be playing at the Garden for the Knicks. And now his peers are intimating that as well. So we'll get to that after Axe update, which is right now. Here he is.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, pick up the sticks with CBS Sports Network. Number 2, Loyola, Maryland. I believe that will be what? The Greyhounds, that sound right? Loyola Greyhounds, I believe, right? Taking on the Georgetown Hoyas, the little lacrosse, college lacrosse, right here on CBS Sports Network, the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, where you're going to get your master's filled as well, coming up Thursday and Friday, round 1 and round number 2. And courtesy of our great boss, Sean McManus, and I'll never forget this, my father-in-law right now is walking the grounds at Augusta.
That's awesome.
A 70th birthday gift. So I hope he's having a great. No pictures. You can't bring phones out there. Yeah. So I guess we'll have to take his word for it that he made it out there.
You can take them. You just can't.
Yeah, like, I hear you.
You can't bring it out. You better be on the sly. Like, really on the sly.
Yeah, but he's gonna abide by the rules. He's a former military man. He's not going to look like if it was us,
good
we'd sneak
him.
It in. He's
going to
abide by the rules. Tiger, this just came out. Let's see. Tiger going on Thursday at 11:04 Eastern with John Rahm. Phil's teeing off at 1:49 Eastern. Rory going for the career grand slam. Rory's 11:15 in the morning. Patrick Reed, and he obviously won. Mm-hmm. Patrick's at 10:31. Bubba. Now, by the way, Bubba, if Bubba wins again, it's going to be three green jackets.
I know.
I mean, that course suits him well.
Because it suits lefties well.
It does suit him well. Phil's got a bunch, and Bubba's got a couple. But that's obviously coming up a little deeper in the week. And Teek and I will dig into the Masters full throttle tomorrow. But right now, we continue with the hoops. And we're joined by my buddy, Vin Parisi, who's done a really good job on, certainly nationally, if you watch the games, the college hoops package, the Big East on FS1, and locally on SNY TV. Big Vinny. Vince, what's up there, Vincenzo? How are you today?
BT, Tiki, thanks for having me on, guys.
What's up,
it's
man?
My pleasure.
Well, you good?
And Tiki, congratulations to your Virginia Cavaliers, of course.
Thank you. I appreciate
Wait
you.
Wait, wow.
What did you think about this game, Vin? Because so many people wanted to knock it for being defensive focused. I thought it was as good of a final as you could have.
Yeah. People were talking about this game like, you know, it was going to be in the 50s. I thought that both teams with the talent on both ends were, you know, a little under probably valued offensively coming into this one. And, you know, you obviously have multiple first round draft picks. You got a couple lottery picks in there. And, you know, look at the points that were scored in this game and the performances from both sides. But I think if you're a hoops junkie, it was still great basketball on both ends. I think the entire tournament was one of the best second or third weekends we've ever seen. But really, just this entire story should just be a script for young athletes, for young coaches, for young people in this business as to 12 months ago up until now, how Tony Bennett, you know, handled that adversity and how this team stuck together and, you know, now come full circle.
Yeah.
And listen, Ben, I'm going to stop short of saying it's the best college season of all time. That's obviously a subjective statement. I wouldn't go that far anyway. But I will say this. It might be among the more unique ones that we've seen.
And I said
to Tiki last segment here, if you think about, you know, the real fuel behind the emotion of the season, most of that was on the shoulders of and the broad shoulders of Zion Williamson, mm-hmm. this transcendent, explosive, uber athlete playing for Duke. But yet, you know, it culminates with the ultimate team accomplishment by a coach who just has instilled old school principles, really unique template for the season, I thought.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. That's a great point, B. And, you know, I think what was unique to this season and what made this tournament so good was, you know, I can't remember another year other than probably 2012 recently with Kentucky when it was either, hey, are you taking Anthony Davis, Calipari, and the Wildcats?
yeah.
Or are you taking the rest of the field?
Yeah.
Where
I remember that conversation.
A team like a Duke as the preseason overall favorite number one. But when this tournament was beginning, even from Selection Sunday and on, it was like, wow, there's 5 to 7 teams that could easily cut down the nets and win a national championship. And when you look at how the margin for error in those Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games, no surprise in this Final Four was off the charts as well.
Yeah, no, you can't be surprised. Virginia has literally been the best team in college basketball over the last 2 years, 66-6. With a 9.71, I think, win percentage, which is tops in college basketball. So the fact they won the championship shouldn't really surprise anyone. Let's move off Virginia in the championship for a little bit here, Vin. What did you think about the Mick Cronin hire out at UCLA? I get it because UCLA couldn't find a guy. I get it also from Mick's standpoint because he's jumping into a very high-profile program from where he was. But doesn't it feel like an odd mix fit, you know, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know what, they've with spring recruiting right around the corner, guys, they've put themselves in this position. I mean, first off, they get rid of Steve Alford during the season, so they had months and months and months, whether they wanted to admit to a search firm, they had months to cultivate, to talk underground with agents, representatives. They've had – Guerrero's had so much time for this. And now let's go through the timeline. They get turned down by Mike Hopkins, number one. Number two, they offer John Calipari less money that he's making at Kentucky. That was the all-time move.
Yeah.
Then number three, they decide that Jamie Dixon's $8 million buyout is too high. And then at the 11th hour yesterday, they decide that Rick Barnes's $5 million buyout is okay. So, you know, they got to this predicament. You know, I thought that they would zero in on like a muscleman, you know, a guy that's, you know, been in a big pro town and could handle some pressure. But listen, I still think this is one of the top 20 jobs in the country. You know, to see Mick Cronin, who I think is terrific, you know, get elite talent out there will be fun. But, you know, it's really interesting how UCLA handled this one.
Yeah, they were sloppy throughout. They might I think they salvaged the whole situation because, like you, I think Mick's a really, really good coach. You know, not the best facilities at Cincinnati, not the best conference affiliation, even though it's good. But once they left the Big East, you know, profile wise, it took a little bit of a step back. And Mick Cronin trots out great defensive teams, nine straight NCAA appearances. Mick could coach. And now we get to the school that you and I both do some work for, St. John's. I mean, it looks like Hurley's going to be the guy, which Bobby Hurley, just to be fair, because Danny's coaching as well. But I think that. It's funny, Vin, I don't know where you stand on this. Would you even sit down with Rick Pitino? It's a Catholic school. I went to Catholic school. So did you. I get it. We know what it means. And I don't think St. John's would make that call or take that serious. But should they?
You know, that's a great question. And I probably would have answered that a lot different 12 months ago. Because the way everything wound up panning out, I know for a fact two or three high-profile jobs to where there was conversations last spring with a Rick Pitino, and then all of a sudden, you know, they started getting nervous about the NCAA implications and stuff. But you fast forward now, Rick Pitino was the only guy ran out of town. Sean Miller's still coaching. Even Will Wade, to the present situation, still have a job.
Yep.
You know, it would be interesting. I just think that it's still too soon, you know, to make a call on that. You know, I talked with Richard Pitino, his son, a couple weeks ago doing a Big Ten game for Fox, and he said, listen, I think eventually he will, but I still think it might be too soon right now with everything swirling. And at the time, guys, the FBI started getting brought up again with LSU and everything. So, you know, when that type of stuff is in the atmosphere, it's interesting. I'm just still shocked that, you know, this is going to end this way for Chris Mullin and St. John's. I really feel after just finishing the sixth year with this new look Big East that, you know, take the dominance of Villanova, the Seton Hall resurgence, any storyline you want to go with.
Yep.
I thought that Patrick Ewing going back to Georgetown and Mullin going back to St. John's were two of the great stories in this league.
Well, I don't disagree with that premise. By the way, it's Vin Parisi, Fox Sports, SNY, locally here, does national work, Big East, and Big Ten as well. I don't disagree when it first went down, but I do think, and I'm sure you'd agree, that there's an expiration date. I'm not saying that we actually hit it with Chris, but at some point, you know, the newness of the hire or romanticizing Ewing and more specifically Chris, who's been there 2 years longer than Pat's been at Georgetown, that's going to get old there after a while. Eventually, you have to win, and you know that. And listen, I love Chris. I love Terrence. I love his family. I know his wife, Liz. Chris is my idol growing up. I love him. Texted him last night. But there was a degree of underachievement this year. There really was. I didn't think it would result in Chris leaving. That has surprised me. But they underachieved this year. They did.
No, totally agree. I mean, at you know, preseason, I think that I never thought that they were a top 25 team or a top two team in the league. I think that got a little overhyped because of Shamari being the preseason player of the year. I thought that they were always a little too undersized. They never rebounded the ball. They never really had that true post presence. But I agree with you, B. They never should have had the last 3 weeks that they had. They never should have been sweating out Dayton in the playing game. What I keep thinking about is a conversation I had, though, with Pat Lyons a few years ago at Seton Hall when, you know, so many were begging him to make a move with Kevin Willard, and he was entering year six. And, you know, he said, you know, I it's taken a while to clean this up, and I just think if we keep changing coaches every 4 or 5 years, that's not the answer. you know, I'm going to give this a little bit more time. And then Seton Hall rattles off three or four tourneys in a row. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they move forward now. Because, you know, Brandon, you know better than anybody now with Matt Abdelmassi, the recruiter leaving, connected to these kids. You know, this could eventually, locker room could get pretty scared.
I hear you. Vin, we got to bounce. Oh, that's the only reason I'm chiming off there. I'll talk to you down the road, brother. Great work. Great season. Thank you, Vin. Appreciate it. Up next, Kevin Durant. The whispers, they're now shoutings. I love it. Knicks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.